Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. In studio, as usual, we have our engineer, Paul.
So what did you think of that last CBS report here? Were they right about the side effects of we do one good thing and four more bad things come out of it here?
Paul, I'm very, very upset about that. Three protein shakes a day I do, so I have to...
Yeah, right. And now they're saying that's bad news or something here. So
I was just telling Shadi, I think I'm going to quit protein and start smoking.
I think that's the only answer.
Well, with that said, I'm so, so thrilled to have my next guest in studio today, Shadi Porkashef, who is the founder of Ability Awareness Project. It's a Laguna Beach nonprofit that provides anti-bullying prevention education. Shadi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. I can't wait to get into this, but what's, and Paul, you may or may not know this, I don't think we've spoken about this, but what's really near and dear to my heart about this, and so much so that I'm going to be working with Shadi, and in September we're going to do kind of my first sponsored charity event around this, is that bullying has become such a big and drastic and tragic thing in our society. And, you know, some people who you would think of that may never, ever have, you would never think in a million years this person would have been bullied. And I'm one. And most people have a hard time understanding that or thinking that. But, and so I'm so happy to be part of this and building awareness and more than anything, helping to build prevention.
We feel so lucky.
Well, I'm so happy to work with you. But you have such a great bio that I'm just actually going to read it. I don't want to leave anything out. And so in addition to the Ability Awareness Project, you help with the kindness programs for children, parents, and educators at schools and also for seniors at senior centers. Ability Awareness Project was the 2018 recipient of the Best Education Center in Best of Laguna Beach, as well as the 2018 One OC Champion of Changemakers, and won first place at the Patriots Day Parade with a song that you composed, which we need to hear, about a conversation between a child being bullied and her consoling mother. I'm sure that's a beautiful song. Shadi is also an official founding member of the World Kindness USA and the Goodwill Ambassador of World Kindness for the City of Laguna Beach, a partner with the Charter for Compassion, a collaborator with the Kitten, the Kindness Evolution, a racktivist, you're going to have to give us a definition of that, yes. With, and I know where it comes from, with the Random Acts of Kindness, one of the 30 Nations kindness leaders, and voted the best activist of Laguna Beach. Her programs focus on teaching non-judgment, empathy, friendship, compassion, tolerance, and inclusion through thoughts, words, and acts of kindness to lead our generation towards greater social interconnection along a humanistic path. Shadi is the mother of a son who is a junior high in high school. And additionally, she is a film composer, or as a film composer, she has composed music for 6 feature films, 2 short films, 5 title theme songs, and dozens of works of children's music, meditation, TV shows, movie trailers, commercials. She is currently working on a musical about King David. And finally, Shadi is a private piano teacher, enjoys yoga, swimming, beach walks, art walks, and near and dear to my heart, gelato.
Oh, yes. Bring on the gelato.
Shadi, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Of course. Of course. I think a great opening question is just what inspired you to get involved and start this organization?
Yes. My son was diagnosed with autism at the age of 4. And after getting a whole bunch of help for him to overcome his challenges, he was able to mainstream in 3rd grade. However, the other kids were not as kind, and they called him, "You retard, you don't belong here." A lot of pushing and shoving and bullying was going on. And I was trying to find a way to help him, and I realized this is an epidemic in our culture that I need to address. I became the CAC, which is a community advisory committee, a board member with the Capistrano Unified School District. And they had these programs, and we still do that, that teach tolerance and understanding, compassion towards kids with special needs. Any kid that has maybe dyslexia, autism, sensory issues, ADD, ADHD. And although these programs are wonderful, they don't address bullying head on, directly. And we see the kids that, you know, they go through mazes blindfolded and they say, oh, it's so difficult to be blind, and go throughout the day. But then they see the blind kid at school and they go pull his hair and run away and laugh. You know, they don't put the two together. There are some kids that do, but not generally.
Not the majority.
Not the majority. And there's so much that we need to talk about and to teach our kids, tolerance and understanding and unity and friendship. Unfortunately, these are being lost right now with the cell phones and the selfies, and it's all about me, and friendship is completely being lost. So that's basically what we teach. That's why we teach what we teach, because I think it's an epidemic and it's getting out of control, and we all need to make sure that children understand that every individual has something to contribute to our collective humanity, have respect and compassion, empathy, kindness, those are so important.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd imagine that, do you see a difference in, like, the age bands? I mean, I mean, from what I remember, bullying starts pretty young and can go through elementary school, junior high, high school. I mean, I think there's different degrees, and I guess it may be more harsh or more sophisticated at some point, especially now with technology. I think the bullying, it's beyond physical. It can be emotionally and intellectually bullying. Do you think about that?
So there's six types of bullying, and the verbal harassment bullying is the generalized one that happens at every age, and from kindergartners even. You could see that happening all the way to high school, college, and adulthood. Cyberbullying starts and gets worse around third grade now, because second graders are on social media, which is a shocker to me. In last presentations that I've been around, I always ask kids, how many of you have cell phones and social media? Second graders, first graders, 80%. Oh, yes, we have our own cell phone. And so cyberbullying is happening. About one out of every three children get cyberbullying. Verbal harassment, of course, it's number one. But physical bullying starts around fourth, fifth grade. It escalates in middle school and gets a little bit calmer during high school. But high school, something else that happens is the social alienation kicks in, and kids are basically left out of these groups and cliques. And if you are not one of them, you're just left out alone.
Yeah. And that's a form of bullying too, right?
Social isolation it is as well.
Do you want to cover the other? Is there two left?
There is cyberbullying, there is physical bullying, there is indirect bullying, which is saying gossip and exaggerated stories about someone. There is social alienation we talked about. There is another one that is called intimidation bullying. You could definitely do that. Just go to someone and say, I'm bigger than you and I'm better than you, and you do as I say. And a lot of kids do take advantage of their big physique, or, you know, they just feel that they're better than other kids and put pressure on them to do what they want them to do.
And that's probably more in the older classes, I would think, right? The intimidation, or does it start young as well?
No, it starts young as well. I had a parent reach out to me. I won't say the name of the school, but her kid was a third grader, and he was crying every day to his mom that this kid comes to me and say, you do what I told you to do. And he doesn't remember what it is that he told him to do. He said he never told me anything. He just every day comes to me and says, you do as I said. And he's just fearful. This kid was just fearful to go to school. Unfortunately, that was not a good situation, because the principal was also a bully. I went to talk with them. And it's some of this situation is not changed at schools. The schools are not addressing it properly either. That's why we have presentations for educators as well, because if the kid is going to an adult and the adult doesn't know what to do or doesn't do the right thing, then they lose hope. That's why suicide is so high.
Yeah, and I want to get back to the suicide, but I also think, and I just remember with my older kids, when then there was, you know, a situation or two, and then going to the parents, and then the parents either kind of one of three, either they, okay, we'll take care of it, I'm so sorry. Two, denial, there's no way my kid did that.
Mm-hmm.
Or three, don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you see that? Or is any?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Any of those is definitely a possibility. And but the worst thing that I see right now is that the parents are not setting good examples. And children learn by example,
yeah.
Right? They
yeah.
watch you. You can't be going off at your friend on the phone.
Yeah.
I can't believe Sarah bought that purse and, you know, she didn't even have the money and she knew I wanted that purse and tell your kid, oh yeah, be nice to your friends, honey. Have fun at your friend's house.
Yeah.
I mean, they see what you're saying and how you react and, that is how they learn how to behave and be around other people. And if you're not, careful, you could teach the wrong thing very easily.
I think that's eventually I'm going to get to what's your ultimate lesson learned, but if this isn't it, this is a big one. It's lead by example.
You have to lead by example for parents.
Yeah.
And be more caring, be more careful, and raise the bar for your own family to make sure your everybody's treating one another with kindness. Nobody's saying any harsh words. Nobody's putting anybody down.
Yeah.
Even between siblings or with your spouse. How are you handling situations? How are you handling conflict? Are you teaching the right way to deal with conflict? Or is everybody getting angry and yelling and going their own ways? Or is everything behind closed doors? That's not good either because you're not teaching anything.
Right.
If every time you have an argument, you go behind closed doors, then there's a chance that you could actually teach your children. There's so many chances during the day.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Why do you think the problem's getting worse?
Personally, I think that there is so much, unfortunately, hatred and fear going around in our culture and our everyday experiences that the kids are attuned to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And they take that, they take upon that, and it's not helping them, the situation, but I think a part of that is also social media and everything else. The problem is it's getting out of hand. It's getting dangerous for the kids now. Social media, we talked about it, one out of every three, but even going back to the suicide, one out of every five kids last year between the age of 10 to 17 seriously thought about taking their own lives. One out of five.
You shared something that was so, so terrible the other day.
Five-year-olds are doing this now. Yeah, one shot himself and one hung himself in the schoolyard.
Yeah.
And they found him in the morning. And it's heartbreaking to think that kids that young, they feel so much pain that they feel taking their own life is the only way.
Yeah.
And you know we have those vigils of children we take to our public awareness events. About 90 something percent of those parents knew and schools knew that this kid is being bullied. But when the kid goes to those adults and tells them, if they don't do the right thing, which all of those cases, the adults failed. The school failed, the parents failed, nobody knew what to do about it. They feel hopeless and they think nobody can help me.
Mm.
Right now, what schools are doing is what they've done for the past 30, 40, 50 years, which they wait until bullying happens. And then they say, oh, that wasn't good. That was not good. Mm-hmm. So now let's sit down together. Most of them bring the kids together. The abuser and the abused have to sit in front of each other, apologize, and as if, you know, they can work things out together. And that is not the way. The studies show that makes bullying be way worse, like 10 times worse. And from my personal experience, the same thing happened with my child, and I had to change districts and schools completely to save them. But that's one other reason. And then the school shootings.
Yeah.
Last 2017, we had 43, which if you think about it, there's only 180 days in school.
Yeah.
That's one every 4 days, a school shooting. But last year, it rose up to 93.
Really?
93.
So one every 2 days?
It's in the past 20 years that they have data from. this has never, ever happened before. So every other day.
Wow.
Every other day and more, plus,
yeah,
there's a shooting. And we have to see the reality. Every kid right now, one out of six kids go to school with a weapon.
And a weapon could be a knife.
It could be anything, but they're using it. You know, it's actually lower than 10 years ago. It used to be much more, much higher.
Yeah.
But kids are using it now. And
wow.
Before it was for self-defense and it was for certain races that they felt intimidated and they wanted to have something for self-defense. But now it's very general. Kids have that and it's happening. And we have to take a look at that too. But yes, the situation is absolutely getting worse. And it's so important right now that we lead our kids towards being the more humanistic path and say, okay, this is how you heal from this point.
Yeah.
So they can become our next healers and compassionate leaders and change makers and peacemakers. That's what we want them to be.
Of course. So you gave an example, which is kind of traditional of how the bullied and the bullier are getting brought together. What are you seeing as the more effective way to handle that?
So the effective way is to separate them. And you don't want them to give just the apology. It's not going to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you're just creating more chances for the one getting bullied to get bullied when you bring them together and keep bringing them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then also the kids, so they find more chances to bully the kid that they always bullied. And also they have a chance to brag about it in front of other kids instead of bystanders. So it makes it worse. You're supposed to separate them and offer help and solutions. Right now, I've heard budget cuts have a lot to do with this, but kids are being expelled if they've done any bullying very easily and fast without really the principals getting help for them. There is so much help, especially in Orange County. There's Western Youth Services, there's Living Success Center.
Mm.
If you're under Medi-Cal, Western Youth Services does everything. They can come to the school, they can go to your home, they can evaluate the kid and offer help rather than expelling these kids that can really benefit from a healthy social interaction at school.
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah, what was the question? Did I get away from the question?
No. I think my question was, so the old school ways to put them together, and you're saying to separate them.
Yes, separate them. Separate them and offer help.
And not to get too granular with that, but so in like a classroom situation, are you saying are schools like taking one child and moving them to another class? Is that sort of?
No. To offer help and therapy and counseling, you want to separate them. But you don't want to separate them as far as when they're sitting in the class, unless there's something, I don't know, some kind
super
of a...
Super severe.
Yeah, super severe.
All right.
Happening.
So what can parents do if their child is bullied?
So if your child is bullied, I know it's very tough. You have to, first of all, stay calm. Stay calm as much as possible, because only 33 or less than 33% of the kids go to parents and tell them that they've been bullied. Because, you know, maybe they feel like they're going to get blamed for it. Maybe they feel not comfortable enough.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're going to get judged by parents the wrong way. So when they do come to you, you want to praise them for coming to you. And make sure you provide a safe environment for them to come to you and speak to you without judging them, without putting the pressure to give you anything, or with anger or disappointment. You have to always stay calm and positive. Never blame your child. Never go after the parent's bully and to figure out what things are, what happened, and, you know, your kid did this. A lot of the bullying is a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the bullies have learned it from family.
Yeah.
Mom could be that way, dad could be that way, and going after them, if you don't know exactly what to do and what to say, it can be troublesome.
Yeah.
And so basically you have to make sure your kid tells you everything. Encourage your child to just be open up and sit down and offer comfort and take notes of everything that is happening, the name, the place, what time. Then you're going to make an appointment with school and going to school and discussing this with the school. But make sure that you always tell the school that no matter what, I don't want my child and this kid to be in the same room talking about this issue.
Yeah.
Because it does make things worse.
Okay. Now, what on the other, but on the other side, what about a parent who has a child that bullies? Now that this parent's going to get confronted, hey, your child did this.
Yes, yes.
What do you say
one
for them?
One more thing I left out with the other one. I'm going to just say that. You do want to do some role playing with your child. There's four steps you want to follow when your child is bullied. And you want to make sure that they find their voice to say it strongly and be able to rise up to bullying themselves. Number one is you have to ignore the bully and walk away. And 80% of the time, if you ignore the bully and walk away, bullying stops. Hmm. What do you think that is?
Why? Why is that? Because the bully's not getting any satisfaction
out of it. Exactly. Yeah. So that works very good. Yeah. If the bully's not getting a rise out of you, they go, oh, you're no fun to pick on.
Yeah.
The second thing is, let's say that doesn't stop and the bully comes after you and keeps bugging you. You do need to turn around, look him in the face and say, stop, knock it off, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. But you want to say it, I practice with the kids with putting their hands like this and say mm-hmm. stop, because you do want to mean it. You can't say, oh, stop. You want to really mean it.
Yeah.
Practice in front of a mirror. And then also we tell them to go to a crowded place. Most kids think, oh, you know, if I go hide in the bathroom, maybe the bullies can't find me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of incidents has happened in the bathrooms. So you want to stay where there's other people. If you don't have a friend, make sure you're having lunch where there's lots of people and hopefully teachers too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing we say is to talk to an adult.
Okay.
So if your child is the bully, yes, that makes things a little bit more complicated. And again, with the same thing with the one, if your child is being bullied, you want to stay calm. You want to stay calm because there's so much work to do. This is a wake-up call. This is a wake-up call that your child needs help. So when you usually get a call from school, your child was involved in this bullying act, you want to listen to everything. Don't get offensive. Don't yell and scream. Listen, take notes, and make sure that you reassure them that you're going to talk to your child. Then you are going to talk to your child and make sure, again, the same thing. You listen. Don't judge. Don't judge about, let's hear his or her side of the story and see what they explain. But let them know that bullying is not okay with you. And you have to go to school and you have to support what the school is offering and whatever the punishment would be. And you do want to have punishment, but you don't want to be too harsh. I heard about this father who... his child was bullying someone on the bus. I don't know if you saw it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm. No.
He made her walk to school every day. He mm-hmm. said, okay, you know, fine. You're not going to be on the bus. You got kicked out of bus. He would follow her, but he would put these videos on YouTube.
Oh,
and
humiliating.
It's humiliating. Yeah, you don't want to do anything like that. I mean, the way you want to parent is fine.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents were saying, oh, yes, do this. But for the child, I have a visual of another child who sent some semi-nude pictures to her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Dad found out. And she had this long, beautiful hair. He sat her on a chair with the camera, and he started cutting off her hair, saying, I'm going to do this as punishment because you did this and this was wrong. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? And she's crying and she's crying. Day after, she's on a bridge. She just takes the car right off the bridge and she kills herself. And it's we don't want to be too harsh. I'm so sorry. This is why I need music. Music saves me. I know this is so dark and so sad. But you don't want to be too harsh as far as how you punish your kids.
Yeah.
If they have done cyberbullying, take away the phone. That's okay for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And, you know, you do want to monitor how much they're on the phone. But basically, this is a wake-up call. So evaluate the situation. What could be some of the reasons your child is acting out?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be because they're going through something new? Maybe they feel they have low self-esteem and bullying makes them feel important. Maybe there's some kind of a divorce or something else is happening. Or maybe they just haven't found a way, the right healthy way to deal with anger and frustration. And this is how they're doing it. Either way, there's so much help. Get help and look at it as an opportunity to make sure you help your child become all they're supposed to be.
Are there any statistics, I don't know if you would know this, but that for the bullier that's kind of left unattended or unaddressed, that they end up becoming
worse,
worse, in jail or something like that? Is there statistics or odds on that?
There is. I'm trying to see if I can find it here, but I know that it continues on, and the empathy level, unfortunately, as you age, it grows higher. You have less and less empathy. If the bully continues to bully,
so it just like snowballs.
It snowballs and no more empathy, and then it turns into sexual harassment, domestic violence. It has other names as an adult. I have another statistic which I can't find it right now, but about by the age they're 30 years old, about some high percentage, like 80% of them, are detained about four times.
Wow.
And they can't hang on to relationships, and they become abusers of their family and their children as well.
I know we're running out of time, but I will say that there is, and we've talked about this before, there is the other side. There is the abuser or the bullier who then goes through a period of maybe acknowledging what they did, right, and then having to deal with that.
Yes.
And in my own personal experience, and we'll certainly get to that when we do our thing, and I've told you about this, but I ran into one of my bulliers at a retail store. And as he approached me, I still had, even as an adult, you know, 30 years later, I had this thing, this terrible feeling come through me. And as he came up to me, he gave me, put out his hand, shook my hand, and gave me a big hug and just said, I'm really sorry. And so I don't know, I didn't really push it. I accepted it, of course, because that's, you know, just how I am. But I just wonder, you know, how long he's been dealing with that and what he had to cope with.
Yes.
So there's so many different angles to this, I think.
Unfortunately, there's not that many cases of what you experienced. So this
I'm
is
sure it's
wonderful.
A minority, but yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's wonderful that you did.
Yeah.
That he came out and, you know, it's been bothering him for so long, and he was happy to see you, so he had a chance to apologize.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
And
I
don't think it's appropriate to say the name, but there is a very, very famous person, right? I'm probably one of the most famous actors, used to be a singer, who apparently was not a very good kid and has come back and gone back to the schools and the teachers and given money, and not everyone has accepted his apology, but he certainly seems sincere.
That's wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful to see.
Well, Shadi, I know we're out of time, so I just want to say what a pleasure it's been having you in studio today. We've had so many conversations, and I can't wait to continue to work with you
Absolutely.
On this.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And I do have the honor of asking, as I said in the beginning, what I call my final thought question.
Oh, yes.
Which is, what is your ultimate lesson learned as you're through your process of the kindness and bullying awareness?
My ultimate lesson is, I know we could be better. We know about the benefits of kindness for everyone, for the ones doing the kind act, the ones receiving it, and it helps the bystanders as well. So there is hope, and I know we can do it. But we all have to take the pledge, and we must rise above race and color and gender differences and political view differences and put our focus on the goodness of humanity. There's so much more we have in common than we have in our differences, and I know together we can do it.
That's so true, so great. How can people either reach you, support you, help you? What's the best contact info?
We need a lot of help, so please do reach out. Our website is kindandsafeschools.org. The new website is under construction, so if you visit after Friday, it would be much cleaner and much better looking than what it is right now. But you could still get in contact with us. Either you could email me at Shadi, Shadi, at kindandsafeschools.org. And our phone number is 949-415-4096. And please do reach out if you have any help or passion for this cause. We would love to have you.
That's so great. And I encourage everyone to do just that.
Thank you.
So thanks everyone who has tuned in today. We look forward to being back in the studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.